Hello, everyone. How are you doing? This is Anna Verzoni, and we're here for our first call of the ZGUP Unshakable Confidence Course. And if you hear an echo, it is not your technology. I'm kind of cracking up because I'm here in Italy. I'm in the mountains in the Dolomite, the Dolomites. And it's kind of funny. It's late at night here, and they're like, go in the bar. It's the off season. No one's going to be in the bar. And I'm like, seriously? Aren't we in Italy, though? And they're like, really? Like, we close on Sunday. Like, there's no one here. And, of course, the bar is packed. And then the other room they told me to go in had music playing, like, really loud because it shared the same speakers as the bar. And so they're like, go into the spa. So I am in the spa, you guys, where there's no one. And there's, like, weird glow lights and, like, you know, like, lounge chairs. And there's this, like, fake stars twinkling in the ceiling. But it echoes here. So if you're wondering what that's all about, that's what that's all about, okay? So, buonasera from the Dolomite. All right. It's gorgeous here, by the way. If you ever want to come, it's awesome. If you're lazy, it's awesome because you can, like, do nothing and still see amazing mountains. And if you're totally adventurous, it's awesome because there's so much you can do. All right. Oh, I see people rolling in. Hello, hello. We have people from all over. Hello, Oregon. Hello, California. Hello, Washington. Hello, South Africa. Hello, Australia. Wow, what time is it over there? Oh, awesome. All right. Well, as people roll in, I wanted to first start off with, let's just arrive, okay? So what I'd like you to do is just let go of everything it took you to get on this call right now, right? Like, maybe it's your lunchtime. Maybe you've got your kid, like, playing outside with some chickens. Maybe you're got them on an iPad. I don't care what you got him doing, by the way. Maybe you're sneaking away into the bathroom to do this call, like, quote-unquote, taking a break at work. Maybe you're in your van on the east side of the Sierra. Wherever you may be, just let go of the traffic, of the tech issues, of everything it took to get here. And just take some deep breaths, and let's just arrive here, because this is for you. This next hour is for you. You've invested the time, energy, money into this course. And so let yourself be fully present and let yourself take full advantage of this, okay? So deep breaths. Let go of all the stress, of all the to-do lists. And just arrive here right now. Because you're here for a reason. And right now, I want you to get in touch with what that reason is, okay? Before you hear anything coming out of my mouth, before you start looking all over the course and start trying to figure out what it's about, why are you here? And just set an intention, not for the next 7 weeks, although that's fine too, but there's a place in the course to do that, but just for this next hour. You know, what do you want to get out of this next hour? And if you're listening to this call later, if you're listening to the recording, what are you wanting to get out of this next hour as well? It's not just for the people that are here alive. So maybe that's to get back in touch with yourself. Maybe you feel like you've lost a sense of connection with yourself. Maybe you're just fed up with how much anxiety and self-doubt get in the way. Whatever that is. I want you to get in touch with that is right now and set an intention for this call, just for this next hour. And if you have the bandwidth, I'd love for you to type into the question and answer box, which on some screens is on the top right and on some screens is on the top left. But go ahead and type in what your intention is, and I'll read some of these out loud. Someone said, be here now, hydrate. Another person said, create new possibilities for my relationship. Another person said, less anxiety about possibly quitting my job. Another person said, I don't know if this can happen in the next hour, but I'd like some clarity about my relationship and getting a divorce or not. Another person says, forgive myself if just for an hour. Another person said, have the courage to ask about being a healthier me. Yeah, feel free to ask. We're going to have a Q&A here. That's what these calls are for. Someone said, I don't know about the next hour, but I want to help ease my transition into perimenopause. I'm having so many issues coming up at this phase in life. Another says, more adventure. I want to commit to more adventure. Someone's saying, I'm getting disconnected. Oh, I'm sorry about that. So they will replay the webinar. That's okay. Whoever wrote that, I'm not going to say your name because I want you to be able to remain anonymous, but you can type in your questions into the Q&A box and I can answer them, and then you can listen to the replay and get answers to your questions, okay? So if you're getting disconnected, that's okay. Still type in your questions and I'll look at them. Someone else said, capture as much happiness as is available. Another said, to see a path forward, to get some hope and excitement. Yeah, right? Like sometimes we just need some of that mojo. Sometimes we just need some of that mojo. Honor my own commitments to self-care. Another person said, quieting the gremlins, returning to myself. Oh, this is so juicy, you guys. And this is totally applicable to this call, okay? I'm so happy that you all are here. I'm sorry if you're going to be typing it in later. I'm sure some more will keep rolling in. So you've set your intention for this call. Now, I could go into, you know, who am I and what's my history and why did I create this course, but that's in the course. So I'm going to let you watch that in the foundations and visioning module where you create a foundation for this course and start creating your vision for what you want to create. But in short, y'all, I have been through some shit and I have decided that I wanted to help people make the most of this one precious life that we have in this body, on this planet, in this current incarnation, so that you don't have the regrets, so that you don't feel like it's wasted, because it's such an amazing miracle, and I want you to be able to make the most of it. That's why I created this course. That's why I have my whole business, is because it took me so much to figure some stuff out, and it's just such an amazing experience for me to be able to help people do that without having to go through what I did, like cancer and all that good stuff you can read about, all that juicy stuff, okay? Now, you know, one of the, I think it's a week two, we go into clarity. So because a couple of the weeks of the first 2 weeks of the course have already been open for a while, those of you who signed up early may already be through that. Those of you who are just signing on, you're right on time. You don't need to be anywhere. You could just, this could be your first experience in the course. No need to feel like you're behind. But, you know, one of the things I start with early on is clarity. And a lot of people are like, what the hell does clarity have to do with confidence? And the thing is that, you know, you need to know what you want to get what you want, right? And a lot of people think they know what they want. You know, oh, I want the house or the partner or the income or the body or the skin or the hair, whatever it is, the enlightenment, right? And the thing is, we're often wrong about what we think we want. It's like, I really want you to focus on, first, how you want to feel. Because why we do anything
is because of how we think it's going to make us feel. The only reason we want to travel more, the only reason we want to be healthier, the only reason we want to make more money is because of how we think it'll make us feel. Some of you may say, no, it's because of what I'll be able to do. Well, but the whole reason you want to do that is because of how you think it'll make you feel. So first, really get clear about how you want to feel. You know, one of my hashtags is freedom is a feeling. And the reason I say that is because it's so true. You know, we can get really caught up in freedom being, you know, location-independent lifestyle, having our own business, having 3 months off a year, or whatever that is, like financial freedom. And really, you could actually have all those things. You could have checked all those boxes, and you still won't feel free if there's something in your mind that tells you you're not free. So really what we're searching for is a feeling, okay? So that's the first truth, is to get really clear about that feeling that you want, or feelings. But don't have 20 of them. You know, I'd say 3 tops, because you want to be really able to focus and hone in on those. You know, for me, freedom is huge. That's why my whole business is called Freedom Junkie. Like, freedom is a top priority for me. I make most of my decisions in life based on, will this help me feel free, more free, or less free? That's how I make a lot of my decisions. Another thing is, you know, in integrity or compassion. And I want to make it clear here. When you're picking feelings, don't make it judgy, like, oh, I'm supposed to feel honest and nice and sweet and kind. Like, that's bullshit. No. Like, what are you truly connected to? Right? Because a lot of my decisions, even though one of my feelings I really want is to be able to feel compassionate and kind, freedom is my number one. So sometimes the decisions I make don't look compassionate and kind to other people, right? So this is not about judgment. This is not about some moral code. This is about you being honest with yourself about what you value most. So getting clear about that and getting really clear about those other details, like, what do you want for your income? How much time do you want off every year? What kind of job do you want, right? All those things are also important, but they are secondary, okay? They're secondary because the way you feel is what's going to drive everything. Or the way you think something's going to make you feel is going to drive everything. So all those other things are great, but the way you can check in with if they're a good idea or not is, do they help me feel free? So a great example of this is, like, you know, I have clients that also are way into freedom. We tend to coach ourselves, right? In the coaching industry, we have this joke, like, my ideal client is myself. So I tend to coach, like, women who are really adventurous, who like to travel and do fun stuff and, like, all this, like, who are a little bit naughty, right? Like, we're a little rebellious that way and everything. And it's like, so it's like getting in touch with what is true for you, and then coming and then asking yourself, will this bring me this feeling? Because so many people that I've coached are like, I want to feel free, and then I want to have my own business, but oh my God, they feel so freaked out about it. The fact that they don't have a steady income super stresses them out. They don't like the marketing. So here they think having their own business and being their own boss will create this freedom, and it does to some degree, but then do they feel free? Hell no. So what's the fucking point? This is why you have to get in touch with your feelings first. What do you want to feel first? How do you want to feel? And then when you make all these juicy details about what you want to create in your life, which are totally legit, you just have to check in. Is this actually giving me what I want? Is this truly feeding what I want? Okay? Good. Okay. So Another thing that I want you to keep in mind as we go into this course is to have a beginner's mind. Because a lot of you people, this is not your first rodeo, right? You've probably done a bunch of self-help books, programs, workshops. You've probably worked with me before. You may be like, oh, I heard this. I know this. But here's the thing. Everything is like a spiral, right? It's like we learn something, and then we evolve, and then guess what? We revisit the same thing again, right? The same situation again. And the next time we experience it, we've evolved a little more. So we take it to the next level. And then we go on, and then, oh, there's that same lesson again. And then we take it to the next level. So you may have heard these things before, but what I want to invite you to do is to take it to the next level. There's always a next level. So when you're learning these things, if you have bigger questions about it, right, deeper questions about it, ask them. Because if you have beginner questions. If you have deeper questions. We are all here to learn from each other. And if you hold back on your questions, you're holding back from other people's potential to learn from you. So it's really important that even if you've heard something before, you think about it. What is the next level of this, right? What is the resistance I'm having now? What is the next question I have about this? Well, this made sense to me this way. What about in this way? Okay? So really have a beginner's mind about it, and don't be afraid to ask questions, because I guarantee you other people will have the same question. Now, on that note, if you all are listening into this later, and if you're listening to this again, like maybe you're on the live call, but you're listening to the recording, there is a way to actively listen on these calls so that even if you're not asking a question, you can really learn from someone else. And if you look in the modules, there's a active listening worksheet that you'll be able to download, and I want you to bring that to every call. If you're on it live, and even if you're listening to the recording, because you will get the most out of this, because I can't say enough how much we learn from listening to other people get coached or listening to the answers to other people's questions. People are going to ask questions you didn't even know you had, and they're going to ask it, and you're going to be like, oh my God, I totally had that question, okay? So actively listen, think about, where in my life could this apply? Or where could this apply to someone in my life that I love and care about? Okay. All right. And then lastly, before we jump into the Q&A, I wanted to mention a couple of logistics. So I added on an extra 2 weeks of support and bonus calls. So, because there are some people that couldn't make the first two calls because they signed up late or they're signing up late and they're like, oh, but I really want to make sure I get the 7 weeks of support. And so I'm like, well, what the hell? So here's the deal. The Urban Wellness Club, which is a group coaching program I have that's a membership program that is ongoing throughout the year, starts up in November. So what I'm going to do is add on for all of you in the ZGF course, 2 weeks of membership in that course, because your course, the ZGF course, goes through mid-November, but you will have an extra 2 weeks of support and of calls, okay? And so you can look for those updated calls and dates in the course and in the webinar section. So if you want to know how to access future webinars and plug it all in, if you're a planner and you want to block it all out, click under the webinars part of the course in your Rizuku platform. And in the webinars course, it will list all of the access details and the dates and times, and you can plug them in. And if you're not going to make it, don't stress. Email me a question, post it in the Facebook group, and I'll answer it on the call. And then you could listen to the answer on the replay. But I will say that it's so powerful to get coached live. I mean, that's really where I can tap into your energy, and that's where the magic can, like, happen on a deeper level. I've been doing this long enough that I can answer a lot of questions, even if I'm not coaching you live, just because I've heard the questions before. But when I hear you asking it, I can really tap into maybe an underlying story that you have going on, or into some maybe less conscious thoughts that might be going on for you around a topic. So I highly encourage you to get coached live. And I will not say your name so that you can remain anonymous, unless you sign off with your name, okay, or I'll call the last four digits of your phone number or the city that you're in, and you can announce yourself, which is great. And I highly encourage that because this is a super safe environment. And when we hear someone's name, right, someone's name is so powerful in many cultures. Like, someone's name says so much about them and their history. And so when we hear someone's name, we have a deeper connection to them, and that helps build our tribe. So I encourage you to say your name. And that's the other thing I wanted to just mention is ground rules, okay? So this is a super safe environment. In the Facebook group, what's shared in the Facebook group stays in the Facebook group. There's no bullying. There's no shaming or scolding. I would also encourage you not to be giving a ton of advice. I'd encourage you instead to be asking inquiring questions to people if they post something, because usually we don't, unless someone explicitly says, I'm looking for some advice here, just listen, like read and listen and learn and share, ask questions with curiosity. And if there's any kind of bullying or shaming or inappropriate behavior, you'll just be removed. Like, I'm very strict about that because this needs to be a safe place. And again, the privacy thing is huge too. Now, of course, this is the interwebs, and some people have varying degrees of comfort with that. And I come from a place that, you know, I believe in people's goodness of heart. And so I've never had an issue of that in any of my courses for the, you know, over a decade that I've been doing this. So I feel comfortable with that. But if you don't, that's okay. Like, that's totally fine too. And if you have a question, you could send it to me and I'll post it anonymously, okay, for you. Okay, so if you want to be coached live tonight, the way that, or today, wherever time zone you're in, you can have some options here. So one is to post your question into the Q&A box if you're on the webinar. And the optimal, the best option that I would love is if you press star 2. Okay, if you press star 2 on your phone, then you can raise your hand and I'll be able to unmute you and answer your question, okay? So if you're on a phone, star 2 to raise your hand. And if you are on the web, type your question in the question and answer box, or in the web call, it also gives you an option to raise your hand, okay? So either of those, any of those is fine. So again, type your question into the Q&A box, and I will periodically check in there, or you can press star 2 to raise your hand, or if you're on the webinar and there's some other fancy way to raise your hand, go ahead and do that. All right? Cool. So these coaching calls, I'll usually teach a little something in the beginning, just like I did. Sometimes it'll be shorter. Sometimes it might be longer. But in general, if I see a lot of hands going up, I'll teach less time and use more time for answering questions, okay? And it'll take a while for people to get comfortable with that, but let's go ahead and get started. So I'm going to go ahead and start coaching. And by the way, you can ask me any question, okay? You can ask me any question you want, whether it's about lifestyle, whether it's about the topic in the course so far, or whether it's about health or relationships or jobs or business, whatever it is. These calls are for you because guess what? ZG, which is radiant inner confidence, permeates everything we do. From the moment we open our eyes through our dream time, whatever our ZG is doing is permeating that. So ask me anything truly on these calls, okay? All right. So I don't see any hands up on the many people who are on the line now, so I'll let you get some courage up, and I'm going to go to the questions that have been asked in the Q&A panel. All right, one I see is, someone here said, why do I make a choice to do something healthy and then not follow through? It's a repeating pattern for me. Totally, right? Okay, so by the way, this is the whole reason that I even started the Urban Wellness Club, which is that group coaching program I was mentioning earlier. Like, if you look at the sales page for that at urbanwellnessclub.com, it even says, like, do you know what you're supposed to do, but you just don't do it? And it's so classic. So first of all, one, you are not alone. Two, it's just the human brain. So, you know, we like to look at this and say, what is, quote unquote, wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. You're human. What's going on here is our brain, which has evolved over the millennia. And guess what? There's this thing called the motivational triad, right? We want to do what's easy. We want to do what's feeling better, right? And we want to do what's comfortable. So we want to avoid pain. We want to seek pleasure. Okay, so when we have those things as part of our evolutionary brain, which is totally wired for survival, even though our higher brain, right, which we've evolved in the last few thousand years, our prefrontal cortex, even though that part of the brain knows that going for a run in the morning is good, or eating more salads instead of like breads is good, when we do something different, the brain goes, hey, that's not what I'm used to. That's different and harder and therefore scarier. So there's no logic to it because there doesn't have to be. This is our survival brain. This is our limbic system. This is how our brains evolved. So when you're thinking, why aren't I doing this? What's wrong with me? I must not have the willpower, right? First, know that our brains are wired to do what feels good, what is not uncomfortable, and what is easier. And guess what? That means not changing, even if what we're currently doing is unhealthy for us. Right? I mean, and I don't know, God, like, I don't know how much you guys know about Ayurveda, but like, I'm like Pitta Kapha, and like, Pitta's like, you know, fiery and athletic and stuff, but the Kapha side is like, I could just as easily sit on a couch and watch Netflix all day. Like, for reals. Like, once I get going, I can like climb a peak all day, and I can like climb multi-pitch routes and hardly eat anything, and I'm good. I'm like going strong. But if I don't get that momentum, I could totally sit and binge watch Netflix for like an entire weekend and like feel like okay about it, right? And so it's like, if I'm going to do something different, it doesn't feel good. Like, it doesn't feel good to get off the couch for me. It just doesn't. I know for some people it does. And you guys, I've been a professional climbing guide like for over a decade, and it still is hard for me to get off the couch. It's just how I'm programmed, but I do it. Even though it feels shitty, because I know eventually I'll feel better, right? So part of it is also not waiting for it to feel right. So a lot of us say, I'm just not motivated. Oh, why can't I get up and go to gym? I just don't feel like it. I wish I would feel like it. Like that person running that I see run by my front window every morning, they must feel like getting up. You know, most people don't fucking feel like getting up, you guys. You just do it because you know you're going to feel good later. Right? This is our like limbic brain. Like our limbic brain is like, why stress out? Why go out into the cold? Why do what's uncomfortable? Why eat something different? We're used to this. And so that's a big part of it. Okay. So take off your judgment, take off your shame. This is the way our brains evolve. Okay. Then we have the willpower question, which there is some basis to that in the sense that we wake up with like a bank of willpower. Right? But when you spend all day resisting something, when you spend all day resisting, like let's say you're at a job that you don't like and you don't barge out the door and say, fuck off, I'm out of here, that's using up willpower. When you walk by the nurse's station at the hospital and there's a bunch of cookies and baked goods or pizza or whatever, and you say, I'm not going to eat that, then that's taking out of your willpower bank, right? And then by the end of the day, your willpower bank's empty. This is why most binge eating, why most affairs, why most gambling and over drinking, this is why all these things tend to happen at the end of the day too. It's not just because we, quote unquote, have these responsibilities during the day. We have habits associated with certain things like, oh, I come home and I do this, I have a drink or whatever. But we also have less willpower at the end of the day. So there's so many things at play there, and it's such a great question. My main thing that I want you to leave this call with, though, is it doesn't help to shame yourself or to think that there's something wrong with you. There's actually nothing wrong with you. Your brain is human. And it's evolved over the, you know, millennia to not do things differently, even though what you're currently doing may lead to an earlier death even, right? This is why people like smoke and all kinds of stuff. Like, it's not necessarily making sense on an evolutionary perspective for actually helping us live longer. It's just that when we were like Neanderthals, doing what worked. But we didn't have like fake pleasure. We didn't have like fake safety back then. So what worked, worked. But now what works doesn't work anymore. It's unhealthy for us, but we keep doing it because evolutionarily we're like, oh, if it worked, it works, right? So I hope that helps. And continue to ask questions about that. Continue to ask more specific questions about that, okay? Because it's very juicy stuff. Okay, next question here. How do we change lifelong beliefs about ourselves? For instance, I seem to think that, quote, I don't belong. And I look for evidence that I'm an outsider and look for signs of rejection, being left out, etc., even when it is probably not true. I want to shake this. It's okay to use my name and location. Oh, awesome. So this is Ayana from Ashland, Oregon. Ashland. So I used to live in Ashland. In fact, I know Ayana. Hi, Ayana, and I had my Airstream parked on Ayana's property, beautiful farm out there in Oregon for a long time. Yeah, oh, I loved it out there. Okay, so hello, Ayana. Good to see you on here. Okay, so how do we change lifelong beliefs? It sounds so fucking heavy, right, everyone? It's a lifelong belief. But what is a belief? Here's what I think a belief is, and here's what cognitive science and what neuroscience and neuropsychology thinks a belief is. All a belief is a thought that you've had over and over and over. That's all it is. So we think, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in enlightenment, or I believe in heaven, or I believe in anarchy, or I believe in atheism, right? Whatever it is, we have these beliefs and we think that they're like these facts that are out there. Like, there's this thing out there that I either think is actually real or don't think it's real. But all a belief is a thought. And so the way that you change this, Ayana, is to start choosing a different thought, because you are exactly right. You're exactly right. You will prove your thoughts. So if we believe that the sun is going to rise, right? We're going to, like, it's going to happen. That's like a very scientific one that we can rely on. But then what happens when the fucking like solar eclipse happens? That really freaks us the fuck out, right? Because we think it's supposed to happen. I'm like, this is not supposed to be happening, right? But if we believe in science and that this is supposed to be happening, then we're like, oh, cool, let's go hang out there and like wear some cool glasses and like check the whole thing out. And if we believe that we don't belong, then yes, we're going to look for evidence about that, because that's just what our brains do. Our brains like to avoid cognitive dissonance, which is a psychological phenomenon where cognitive dissonance is where our self-perception is different from what's actually happening. So if you're like, oh, I'm a really ethical person, but then you're bitchy all day. You have cognitive dissonance because you're like, wow, I kind of have this belief that I'm this like really nice person, but yet I'm super bitchy all day. And that develops cognitive dissonance, and it's stressful for our brains. So instead, we try to find evidence. So we ignore all the instances where we're bitchy, and then we just choose to notice like, oh, I opened the door for that lady, and then I talk shit about her outfit later. That you forgot. You just remember that you opened the door for her. You forgot all the shit talk you did after she walked past you, right? So this is what our brains do. Nothing wrong. This is just what our brains do. So in the ZGF course, you will see a slide that talks about how our thoughts affect our emotions, which then lead to our actions, which then lead to our results. So what you're pointing out here, Ayana, is the thoughts / beliefs, because beliefs are just thoughts we've had over and over, those leading to the result of evidence for your thought, which is exactly what happens, right? This is exactly what happens. So what we do is pick different thoughts. Now, this actually leads to something else, which someone else asked. So I'm just going to kind of combine these two questions. Someone else said that, you know, I've tried affirmations and they don't really work for me. And here's the thing. I'm not going to say to Ayana, oh, all of a sudden pick the thought like, I belong in every situation, right? Because unless she can actually believe that fully in the moment, you don't want to pick a thought that's bullshit, because it's not going to work. Because then you're not going to pick up evidence for that. You're going to pick up evidence for the thought that comes in right after that, which is this is bullshit. So you need to pick a thought after which this is bullshit does not follow. And how do you do that? So you can do what I call bridging thoughts or laddering thoughts, where you pick one that's an in-between thought that you can more easily. Now, maybe it's not as sexy as like, I feel like I belong. Maybe that feels so good and you really want to believe that. But if you don't quite believe that that's possible yet, then the next best thing would be like, I belong in many situations. Like, I belong in my family. I belong with this group of friends. I belong in this environment, right? Some people that I've worked with can't even go there. They have to be like, I belong to the human race. Like, they feel so, so isolated that the only thing that they can first believe is like, I belong to the human race. But what's cool is you do that new thought. And here's the part, you guys, where a lot of people screw up. It's like eating your vegetables. You have to practice the thought. You can't just decide, oh, this is my new thought, and so now I'm going to do this and then just hope it works. No. You have to practice the new thought. So, like, let's say this new thought is, I belong in a lot of situations. Okay? So then you wake up in the morning, and the first thought, like maybe even before you open your eyes, is, oh, it feels so good to belong in so many different situations. And you get that, like, feel that feeling of belonging that you have in those situations. And then before you go to bed, the last thought before you go to bed, I'm so grateful that I belong in so many different situations, right? And you feel it. Matching the thought with the feeling is so important because it makes it real. And then throughout the day, you can have little reminders pop up on your phone. There's an app called Think Up, THINKUP. And I use that. And you could put in some new thoughts you want to start programming. It'll remind you to do them throughout the day. And you could record your voice saying it, which is even more powerful. You could say, Ayana, you belong in so many different situations. Right? And then hearing yourself say that is good. I like using my name. For some reason, that fits. Some other people just say, I belong in so many situations. I like saying my name. Anna, you belong. That works better for me. Either way is fine. Morning and evening, when you first wake up and when you first go to bed, are some of the most impressionable times of the day. So that's the best time to practice new thoughts, okay? Really impressionable times. And you just have to do it. And then once you have that thought, then you go to the next one, to the next rung on the ladder. Once you believe that first thought, then you go to the next level. Like, right? Oh, I belong in almost all situations. And then it's like, I belong no matter what. Maybe that's your final one. Whatever it is. So you ladder those thoughts. And it may seem weird to you guys that there's not like all this stuff to do. Like, oh, go out and join some organizations or call some friends and blah, blah, blah. So that's coaching on the action line. So, you know, thoughts, emotions, actions, results. You can actually change things anywhere on that continuum. So going out and quote unquote belonging to more groups could help. But if your thought hasn't changed, you're going to need some pretty powerful actions to affect change in that thought. A thought is so much easier to change than anything else downstream from it. So yes, you can do some actions in the meantime, but if you only did actions without changing your thoughts, what you'll find is, and this is what most people do, they focus on the actions without changing their thoughts, and it works for like a little bit. And then it doesn't work anymore. And guess why? Because your thought hasn't changed, which is why you end up with the same fucking result. This is why people who win the lottery inevitably end up in the same socioeconomic status as before they won the lottery. We think millions of dollars will change our lives. Guess what? Their thoughts about money have not changed. So their emotions about money have not changed. Their actions about money have not changed. They will overspend, blah, 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 and end up in the same result because their thought has not changed. Even though the action, you know, and having all that money in the moment may have affected some of those things. It's not going to change the thoughts, and they're going to end up right back where they are, which have all the studies have shown does happen when people win the lottery, right? So don't pick bullshit thoughts. And then, oh, here's the other thing. How do you know if a thought is something that you kind of believe or not? Because some of us, our thoughts are so fucked up, right? Like we get thoughts and messages from so many different people, right? We get it from media, we get it from family, we get it from partners, all kinds of shit. And so what I recommend is you pick a thought and you say it, and then you ask your body, like, what do you think? And for those of you that aren't that connected to your body, that may sound kind of weird, but just try it. Be like, I belong everywhere, or I always belong. And if your body kind of goes, no, then don't pick that one. Pick something that your body goes, yeah, kind of relaxes around it, feels good about it, can accept it and embrace it. Okay? Good question. Okay, so then the next question, how much should we settle and accept what is, and how much should we strive for change? Okay, this is like part B of Ayana's question here. So, yeah, I like this question because I think it's a question a lot of people that are on a spiritual path also have, because they're like, partly, you know, being content with what I have and showing gratitude and everything is like important. And yet I'm in this body and this life and I feel like I'm supposed to have so much more and do so much more. So here's what I recommend. Goals are fun, right? We set goals, we strive for more because it's fun. Where we get screwed up is when we think that creating something or moving on to a different relationship or changing where we live, quitting our job, whatever it is, where we get messed up is where we think that will make us happy. So if you guys think back to everything I just said, thoughts, emotions, actions, results, what affects emotions in that model? Thoughts. not the job, not the relationship. It's your thought about the job. It's your thought about the relationship. So it's important to first realize that, like, I kind of approach it like, okay, from a Buddhist perspective, there's this teaching of, like, an ultimate reality and a relative reality. And ultimately, you know, there's this sort of view, and, you know, obviously if I could explain emptiness in 1 minute, like, then a whole bunch of people would be enlightened. But, in, like, simplistically, you know, if everything is empty and, you know, really, like, we could be content with everything that is, that's the ultimate reality. But then there's the relative reality that we also live in. They exist simultaneously. And the relative reality, it's like, yeah, I kind of want to be having a cool job. I kind of want to live in a beautiful place. I want to have this relationship, right? So from a spiritual perspective and from a cognitive coaching perspective, it's important to realize, and isn't it funny how they're so similar, that one, yes, you should theoretically be able to be content in any situation, and you can strive and create and want more. Just don't fool yourself into thinking that doing that will make you happier, because what creates happiness are your thoughts. Bottom line, and I know that this is kind of like, I could do a whole call, and I could do a whole year on teaching just about that concept, right? Like, having this, what do you mean it's our thoughts, right? And if you guys want to kind of debate that, I love that. So raise your hand, star two. Like, let's hash it out. I've had people ask all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, what about genocide? Is that, like, those feelings? Is that feelings about that all thoughts? Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, we can go there if you want. But ultimately, go ahead and strive and accept what is. Accept what is, and accept that the feelings you have about what is are due to your thoughts. Then when you move or leave the job or leave the relationship or whatever it is, start the business, whatever you're doing, you come at it from a clean place. You don't come at it from, like, I'm doing this and this better make me happier, because it's not, because you're going to have the same fucking thoughts. And so you're going to have the same fucking results. So come at it from a clean place. It's not so much accepting and settling with what is, right? It's accepting that your thoughts are creating how you feel about what is. So yes, like, here's the thing, guys. We suffer when we wish things were different than they actually are, right? This is the only reason we suffer. We suffer because we're like, oh, I wish I wasn't in pain right now. Oh, I wish I wasn't hungry right now. Oh, I wish my partner was, like, a little bit nicer. Oh, I wish my partner remembered my birthday. Oh, I wish I lived with a view. That's my big one. I'm, like, super annoyed that our current house doesn't have a view. So it's like, that's the only reason we're unhappy, is, like, we wish it was different than what it already is. And so part of it is, yes, accepting what is. But more importantly, accepting that the reason you feel shitty about it is because of your thoughts about what is. Because, like, my mom would be perfectly happy in her house, because she used to live in a little village with a dirt floor in the Philippines, right? She wouldn't give a shit if we didn't have a view or not. Like, she'd be like, yeah, this house is sweet. So that's the important part, okay? And then also remembering that doing something differently, striving for change, making that change, should be for fun, not because you think it's going to make you feel better. All right. Someone else said, wow, I've been entertaining the belief that I never follow through. No wonder I don't follow through. LOL, you can always use my name. Well, that's awesome. He said, I don't know your name. It doesn't have your name. I would totally use your name because it sounds awesome. Like what you said, I would love to know who you are. But no name there for some reason. But thank you. Exactly. Right? It's a different way of saying the self-fulfilling prophecy. But what I love about this is that in the cognitive coaching model is it's a system. Thoughts, emotions, actions, results. So it's not this abstract concept like self-fulfilling prophecy. If you believe it, you show your faith. It's like, oh, wait, there's an actual model of your thoughts. You have these thoughts that then create this result. It's like so clear, right? All right, someone else said, often thoughts enter our minds without much conscious effort. Yes. How do you suggest approaching those thoughts? Like, I don't belong, I'm unlovable, I'm not good enough, my personal gremlin, when they arise. This is from Kendall. Thanks, Kendall. Thanks for asking. Okay. How do you suggest approaching those thoughts? Okay. One thing I want to mention is that I have found that when I do this work and become very conscious of my thoughts, then they all of a sudden start becoming less unconscious. And when I meditate, like one of the main reasons I meditate isn't because I feel good during it. Usually I'm super uncomfortable and I'm annoyed at how many thoughts are running through my head or whatever. But even then, I still seem to be able to have this little bit more awareness between when I have a thought and then I react to it. Like I seem to have this little bit of awareness that a thought just arose. And when I don't meditate, it's a lot harder for me to notice those thoughts. And if you don't like meditating, then here's what you do. Actually, even if you love meditating, this is what you do. We should all do this. This is going to be part of the course. So you do a thought download. Okay? So you give yourself space to write freely, whatever's going on. No structured writing, no paragraphs, no full sentences. Just get out a pen and paper and just write whatever's going on. Wake up in the morning and write, or go before you go to bed. Do a brain dump or a thought download, whatever you want to call it. And when you do this, you'll start noticing all kinds of shit. And you guys, sometimes it can be somewhat depressing when you start to realize how many negative thoughts we have about ourselves, right? Like, oh my God, I mean, Kendall's very aware. I don't belong. I'm unlovable. I'm not good enough, right? So we become aware of when those pop up. And then you go through the model. And I'm going to do a whole entire lesson on this in week 3. So I know that we're in week 1. We're entering week 1 right now, even though you may have had access before. But in week 3, once you get a lot of this foundational stuff down, I'm going to give you some really concrete tools to work through when these negative thoughts come up. But in short, what you're going to do is pick one. Like, I don't belong. So you want to get a specific example, Kendall, of actually, well, since Ayana said, I don't want, let's pick a different one. I'm not good enough. Okay, so that's one of yours. So pick a specific situation where you think I'm not good enough. And if you happen to be on, still go ahead and type that in. Okay, so I'm trying to see if you raised your hand here. I don't think so, unless you're 2795. But so when you're thinking I'm not good enough, pick a certain situation, like maybe when you think about starting a business, for example. And then so you just put in the situation line, circumstance line, something very neutral, not like my new scary business, right? Just put business. And then your thought is, I'm not good enough. Well, then you go down. How does, when I think I'm not good enough, what's the one feeling that comes up? Because if you have a bunch of different feelings, usually that's a bunch of different thoughts precipitating each different feeling. So when you think I'm not good enough, what do you feel? To me, if I think I'm not good enough, I feel shame. And then you ask yourself, when I feel shame, what do I end up doing? I end up not building my website. I end up not telling people about my business. I end up not writing my blogs. I end up not doing all that stuff, right? And what's the result? Oh, look, you're not good enough. You're not doing what's good enough in your business to make it happen. You're creating evidence for that, okay? Now, there's a lot of other ways the results could show up other than proving the thought. It could be a flip of the thought. It could be a mirror image of the thought. But for now, this is keeping it simple. You're creating evidence for your thought. Oh, look, I'm not good enough. I have no fucking website. I don't write my blog posts, right? Awareness alone is huge. Because then you see it as your thoughts and not because of some truth. Often what we mistake is that we have a thought, like I'm not good enough, and then we have the evidence, so then we think that thought is fucking true. But it's not. The only reason there's evidence is because we have the thought that's affecting our emotions, which is affecting our actions, which then creates our results. That's the only reason it seems true. We're creating it. So when you start having the awareness of this process, you go, oh, well, of course I'm getting this result. Look, it's because of my thought. And just like the brief other answer to this is then you work the model backwards. So then you go, what result do I want instead? Okay, then you start at the result. I want a website that I'm proud of, right? So what actions do you have to take for that? Oh, I want to, so then I need to get a URL like, you know, Kendall.com, and then I need to, you know, get a WordPress theme, and then I need to get some photos that I want to put on it, and I need to write like 30 blog posts to post on it. Okay, so how do you need to feel to do that? I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to be fucking shame, right? Shame's not going to get you there doing all that. So what do you need to feel to do that? I need to feel excited. I need to feel excited about my business. Good. So what thought do you need to have to feel excited? Oh, this is totally possible. Or I'm getting out of my own way. Whatever it is, you pick the thought that actually generates that specific feeling. And only you know what that is. There isn't a thought that does that for everyone. You need to pick the thought. And then guess what? Different thought, different emotion, different actions, different result. And just like Ayana's question, you got to eat your vegetables. You have to practice that new thought every day, even though it's not going to feel amazing yet when you don't have it. But, you know, practicing it, you create those new neural connections in your brain, the new neural grooves, and soon it becomes easier. Soon it becomes second nature. Soon it is you. It's the new you. It's your new belief because now you've thought that thought over and over, okay? All right. Somebody's raising their hand here. So I see someone. Last four numbers, 2795. Hello.
Hi, Anna. It's Bella.
Oh, Bella. Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm so good. How are you?
Great. Well, how can I help you today?
Long story short, I got on the phone call today and I was like, yeah, I've worked with Anna before. I've done all this. Casually listened to while I'm hanging with my kiddo. And then you said the whole stuff about, well, maybe you're here because you're leveling up or you need to level up your work. And I was like, ah, oh, fuck. Now I actually have to focus and listen because I was half hoping I didn't have to do the work anymore. But I am in a big phase of leveling up right now. I'm the mother of a 3.5-year-old, which is a huge, amazing joy in my life, but also like requires you to be a better human, better person, more present person than ever before. As you know, I'm in the middle of like the midwifery program of my dreams and I'm loving it and it's really fucking hard and awesome and hard. And I, you know, I have this life that I want and that I'm working really hard to make work for me and for my family, but I also am like, it's hard, you know, it's really hard to be a mom, be in this program, be married, be in like this life and all of the things that I'd worked on and like created within myself have taken a back seat. So I am curious if you have tips for how you take care of yourself and ground yourself and continue to nourish all the other parts of yourself that aren't like these action steps or these big goals or the, like the leveling up part of life, so that you come out of that next level, out of like climbing the mountain, out of moving forward, still whole and still with kind of the personhood and the self-care that you had established before.
Ooh, okay. That's a really good question. And, you know, somewhat relating to what I mentioned earlier, you know, this is a great example, you guys, of how I said, you know, we coach ourselves. So if you guys don't know, like I was also in a very competitive, like advanced nursing program. I've been a midwife. You know, I went through my doctoral program with a little kid. So it's funny how, you know, like we've, many of us have like been there in similar situations. And so here's the thing. Right now you're in it, right? You're like so in it. You're like, you're at Yale, right?
Yeah.
Are you on the
East Coast? No, I'm at
OHSU. Yeah.
No, I'm at OHSU.
Okay, so you're doing, OHSU. Awesome, right. And so, even better. So you are like, so you're in the program, you're like kind of supporting your family in many ways. You're a mother, you've got all these demands on you. One of the best things you could do right now is this thought work in reframing how you're perceiving all of this, reframing the story that you're telling yourself about this, because so much of being in it, we have these feelings and these thoughts of like, this is too much. This is like no one can do this, or like, I'm so overwhelmed right now, or I wish my partner was doing more, or this is like so overwhelming, blah, blah, blah. And like, we have those thoughts and it's not helpful, right? And so when I was in a similar situation, like I was in my doctoral program, my husband was gone like 3 months out of the year paragliding, like he wasn't even working. and then I'm like, you know, holy shit. Like, and I had this story that was really negative and not helpful. Right. And what was hard was a lot of people agreed with me. Like most of the external world agreed with me. That is fucked up. Wow. Yeah. You are really like stressed out and maxed out right now. Right. And then I'm like, oh, and then my business, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It wasn't helpful. And guess what? When I'm in that mindset, am I getting up and running in the morning? Am I eating healthy food? No. What did I end up doing? I was like over drinking, right? I would like come home and be like, I'm so fucking maxed out and have no other options because poor me can't get out and exercise, and poor me can't like have enough time to cook a healthy dinner. So I'm going to fucking order out and drink this wine, right? Like that's what that thought was creating in me, even though the rest of the world kind of agreed with me.
Right.
So I had to really walk my talk, right? I had to look at this and say, okay, if I was my own client, what would I say about this? I'd say, look, your story isn't fucking serving you. Change the story, because that's the only reality. It may seem like yes, my husband's gone like 3.5 months doing fun stuff while I'm getting my doctoral program, like taking care of our kid and blah, 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 and running my business, right? And so it's like, but those are just circumstances that can be interpreted in any way. And this is where it's really hard, and this is where coaching really helps, is because when I was in it, I was like, no, this is the one exception. Like, no, my situation is fucking real, and it is for real shitty, everyone, okay? Like, and so it seemed that way, but I'm not saying it's easy. It took a lot of coaching, a lot of self-coaching on my part, a lot of, like, soul work, but it's like, I was like, what story is going to serve me here? And, you know, the story that I chose and that I still live now is, I'm a fucking badass. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I am doing all this. I'm providing for my family. I'm an amazing mother. And
I have the energy to take care of myself. Like, whoa, I'm so fucking amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
from that, and, you know, some people can jump in and start telling you their story like, oh, no, but then you're just ignoring reality, Bella. No, then you're just pretending. No, it's not. It's all fucking what we make it out ourselves. We create mm-hmm. the reality. We create what's going on. So, yeah, you're exactly right. You're in a deep place of up level right now because you're in a situation that if we took a vote, most people would be like, you're fucking right. That's too much shit right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's
mm-hmm.
going to serve you? Because what's going to, and like changing your mindset around that, you're going to have a different, because it will change how you feel, you're going to have a whole
yeah.
different energy around it. And
yeah.
the main place to not get stuck is, you know, we think, oh, but then I'm not really taking care of myself. Then I'm ignoring these hard truths. And it's like, no, it's what we make of it. It literally is that.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally the, mm-hmm. the situation is neutral.
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, super helpful. It's super helpful. And it's a great reminder to grab hold of the way I'm thinking about it and focus on that. I'm on day 16 in a row of journaling, which has worked for me very clearly in the past. And I think that thought will be something that I'll focus on anyway to flesh out and think about my situation in that way. So yes, very, very helpful.
Awesome. And then you can still work on the A line, right? Like we can still in the Facebook group also, like you could be like, hey, any tips out there from like overwhelmed moms on like how to like do self-care
right.
and stuff. Because like you're going to have this new feeling, but you're going to be like, well, then what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like you still want to know what to do. So it's like, okay,
right.
yeah, like what are the simple things you can do? But I will tell you some things I did was I decided to get body work like once a week, which still ends up only being once a month. But at least I told myself I would get it once a week if I put it in my schedule instead of like
right.
being like, that's so luxurious. So I do body work, and then I schedule in the self-care first. This
mm-hmm.
is so important because, and then I have found that I have to do it in the morning. I have found that no matter how much I pretend I'm going to do it later, I don't. I'm just too fucking tired. So I
mm-hmm.
do it. I go to bed, and you guys, this is where, like, you want to find your, like, keystone habit. Like, for me, going to bed at, like, 9:30 or 10 sets myself up for so much success. No, it sets myself up for so much success because I end up going, oh, now I have the energy to exercise. I get up at 5 a.m. and I get in my workout before anybody else wakes up. You know, I have my alone time. I meditate. I crank on my business for a bit. Everybody else wakes up at 7:30 or 8, and then boom, I'm ready to be present. But if I don't go to bed at 9:30 or 10, that's it. It throws off everything fucking else. It throws off my exercise, my eating, everything. So, like, that's my habit. And then when I was over drinking, that was my keystone habit I had to change. Because if I overdrank, everything was fucked because I would wake up at 2 a.m. Even if I went to bed at 9:30, I'd wake up at 2 a.m., not fall asleep till 4 a.m., and then it would throw everything off. So you got to find out, like, what's that thing, the keystone habit that will help you address everything else. Okay?
Right. Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to go a little over because it's our first call and I talked a lot in the beginning. But let's see here. Someone just wrote one. Oh, someone said, what's the first thing I can do to build a healthy habit or start a new routine? Hey, that's just what I answered right here. Okay. What's your keystone habit? So, like, what's the thing that you think will affect all your other habits? For me, it was going to bed early. Okay. But what's the first thing you could do here to build a healthy habit? So this is just me totally projecting my experience onto you, whomever you are. Oh, Cindy. Oh, let me see. What's there? Okay. Anyway, what's the first thing you could do? I say just decide what you're going to do and don't fucking argue with it. Just like do it. Don't wait to feel good about it. Don't wait till you want to do it. Don't wonder if you should do it. Just like, this is what I'm doing now. Tell everyone about it. Hey, everyone, I'm drinking a green juice every morning. And make it something small and simple so that you can prove to yourself you can plan on something and stick to it. Don't be like, I'm going to work out for an hour 6 days a week if you're not even close to doing that yet. Pick something that's doable. Like if your healthy habit is to have a green drink, you know, I'm going to have a green drink 4 days out of seven to begin with. Okay, and those days are going to be Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, or whatever it is. Be very clear about it and just do it. Don't even argue with yourself. Don't give yourself the space. Just say, this is what I'm going to do. Boom, not even an option. You know, this is the thing with my stop overeating class and my stop over drinking class. It's like you plan 24 hours in advance. Don't be like, I'm going to exercise tomorrow. And then wake up in the morning and decide when you're going to exercise. That's not going to fucking work. You got to decide the day before. I'm going to exercise at 7 a.m. Get all that shit out. Do it. Right? And just plan on it. Schedule it. Non-negotiable. You know, we often think like, oh, like it's just not fitting in. You know what? We all go to work when we don't feel like it. We do shit we don't want to do when we don't feel like it. Why can't we exercise when we don't feel like it? It's because it's not up there in our minds as something that's non-negotiable. It's just a fucking thought. The whole reason you go to work when you don't feel like it is you have this thought that it's bad if you do or that you're afraid to get fired or whatever, you know? Well, then you could have the same thought about not exercising. Oh, I'm going to, like, I'm afraid of getting overweight or afraid of having a heart attack. Like, those are pretty serious, too, you know, on the same level as, like, getting fired. So we just have different thoughts about it. So do the thought work, okay? You know, what's your thought? Maybe a lot of people say, you know, oh, this isn't going to make a difference this time. That's a thought, right? Like let's say you pick like exercise 3 days a week and the thought is it's not going to work or I'm not going to stick to it. And then the way you feel is like defeated or something. And then what do? You don't do it or you slack, right? And then the result is just proof of that. So then you do what I talked about earlier, reverse the model. You want to run, like you want to feel energized. You want to run 3 days a week. Or, you know, you could say as your result, I want to run 3 days a week or exercise 3 days a week. What are the actions you need to take? I need to set out my clothes the night before. I need to put it in my schedule. I need to commit to it no matter what. How do you have to feel about that? I need to feel committed. What is the thought you have to have about that? I'm going to take care of myself no matter what, right? So work the model forwards to find out where you're currently at and then work it backwards to get where you want to be. All right. Someone wrote a one sentence thing here that says like, I'm not a good enough mother. All right. So same thing, right? I'm not a good enough mother. It's just a fucking thought. And you might think that it's true because when you're thinking I'm not a good enough mother, guess what? You do shit that's not a good enough mother kind of stuff, right? So, but it's not because you're not a good enough mother. It's because you think you're not a good enough mother, which then leads you to feel a certain way that then leads you to act like it. You guys, I know it seems crazy, but it's so true. It's literally just our thoughts. And the only reason that we see evidence, it's not because the evidence is already out there proving our thoughts. It's because our thought is creating the fucking evidence. It's the other way around. So when you're thinking I'm not a good mother, you're going to create things that prove it. Or you're not going to be taking care of yourself. Maybe you think I'm not a good mother and you do all kinds of shit for your kids or whatever, but then you don't do anything for yourself. So you're not being a good mother to yourself. You're not taking care of yourself. That's another way that the results can show up, the whole kind of mirroring thing that I was talking about, right? We end up reflecting that in our how we respond to ourselves. All right. Kendall says, probably for another time or a written response, your ideas on freedom and parenting would be so appreciated. Yeah. So, Kendall, what I would like is for you on our next call or on the Facebook group, give me something specific there. Because my ideas on freedom and parenting, I mean, freedom is so personal, right? Like, what does freedom mean to you? I'd want to know what that means to you. And then parenting. I mean, no doubt parenting changes things. And, you know, I could say, theoretically, the only reason we think it decreases our freedom is because of our thoughts about it at the time, which on an ultimate reality level is true. But then there's a relative reality, like, yeah, I don't get to go for a run whenever I feel like it, or I don't get to, like, you know, go on as many meditation retreats as I'd like. I'd love to do a month-long or a two-month-long retreat or something. So it changes our freedom on that level. But I also feel like people give up more than they need to, personally. But that's also because freedom is one of my number one value, or is my number one value, right? Like, freedom is so important to me. But I also believe in freedom of the mind, not just in, and here's the thing, freedom. There's freedom to do something, and then there's freedom from. Freedom from greed, freedom from selfishness, freedom from stress, right? There's freedom to do things and freedom from a lot of other things. And we often forget about that other side of freedom. Like, it's not just about doing things, but it's about what other freedoms we get, freedom from what other types of things. And so on a practical level, I feel like a lot of parents give up more freedom than they probably need to. But I think you can also enter into that with a different thought about it. Like, I'm okay with that right now. I'm okay with giving this up right now, but not that. So it's, you know, my short answer would be you just need to get really clear about what is your, what is your idea of freedom, and what are you okay with giving up? Like, truly, not bullshit okay, but like, what are you truly okay with giving up for a little bit, and what are you not? Like, I kind of came to this point where I was like, okay, I'm not okay giving up my meditation retreats, like, because I was kind of like, oh, we travel a ton and we do all this, and I don't want to take more time off of my business to, like, do my meditation retreats. I'm like, no, actually, I found that I'm not as happy and I'm not as good of a person. I'm not showing up as a good of a person as I'd want to be when I don't do my retreats. So, you know, I've prioritized that again. So you could probably have more freedom than you think, which is usually the case, and rethink what freedom means to you, and or get really clear about it, and then reframe what type of freedom is more important than others right now. I would say that those are the first steps. But in the future, I'd love for you to raise your hand so that you could get coached on this specifically, okay? All right. Oh, and you're welcome, Cindy. Thanks. Okay, she says I could use her name. Yeah, I was kind of like, oops, I wasn't sure if I should have used your name. All right, thanks for letting me know. Okay, you guys, we're over. We're over, but that was so fun, wasn't it? Okay. So I hope you listen to this call again, because there was a lot of juicy stuff in there. And go and post in the Facebook group and the Urban Wellness Club page. You know, that's a private group. Only people in the group can see your posts. Tell us who you are, what your goals are. Tell people how awesome the call was and have a listen. And I'm super excited about this. Thank you for your amazing questions. You guys, this is just day one, and we just dropped in. This is day one. We are in the meat already. 7 more weeks to go. I'm so excited. So dive in there. Don't fire hose the material. Pace it. Do what you can. Okay? I love you all. Thank you for being here. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.